Last Sabbath morning, we began a series of studies on the 23rd Psalm with the first sentence of the Psalm, which is crucial for our understanding of the whole Psalm and our receiving the blessing of the whole Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. This morning, we follow on from that with the second half of this first verse. I shall not want. Confidence and contentment. I shall not want. There's an old Scottish version of this 23rd Psalm, which translates the first verse like this: The Lord is only my support, and he that doth me feed. How can I then lack anything whereof I stand in need? And those last two lines catch exactly the meaning of I shall not want. I shall not lack anything whereof I stand in need. There's a wonderful confidence there, and a wonderful contentment. That is why this single phrase in the psalm has a message that is supremely relevant for today, a day when confidence and contentment are very scarce commodities. You'll meet very few people who are confident today, and I think you'll meet very few people who are truly contented. If the Lord is my shepherd, then I can be very confident that I will not lack anything that I need. How can I then lack anything of whereof I stand in need? There's a wonderful confidence there, and a wonderful contentment. And this morning I want to illustrate that confidence and that contentment from the history of the people of Israel and from the experience of David himself, so that we may learn that the secret of confidence and contentment lies in the ceaseless care and the constant provision of the Good Shepherd. Keep that in your mind all the way through, that the secret of confidence and contentment lie in the ceaseless care and the constant provision of the Good Shepherd. First of all, then, we look at the Good Shepherd's provision for our pilgrimage. For our pilgrimage. This phrase, shall not want, or more accurately, shall not lack, occurs frequently in the account of Israel's pilgrimage from the land of Egypt to the land of Canaan. Thus we're told, for example, in Exodus chapter 16, verse 18, the chapter which tells about the giving of the manna, that those who gathered the manna, even those who gathered little, had no lack. It's the same word that you have here in the 23rd Psalm. The people who went out to gather the manna, even though they only gathered a little, had no lack. And again, in reviewing the story of their journeying, that fact is underlined. For example, in Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 7, here's a summary of the people's pilgrimage. For the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord thy God hath been with thee. Thou hast lacked nothing. Same phrase again as we have in this 23rd Psalm. Thou hast lacked nothing. And Deuteronomy chapter 8 from verse 7 to verse 9 has the same confidence about the land to which they're going. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, and listen to the description of it, a land of brooks of water. Think of that in the Middle East where there's so much drought, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. And this again, thou shalt not lack anything in it. And centuries later, in the time of Nehemiah, this was given as the summary of Israel's pilgrimage. Yea, 40 years didst thou sustain them in the wilderness, so that they lacked nothing. You see how this whole history of the people of Israel underlines this glorious word in Psalm 23, I shall not lack anything. Thou hast lacked nothing, thou shalt not lack anything, they lacked nothing. And all because the Lord was their God. You find that in all those places that I've quoted. The Lord your God. Here on the broad canvas of Israel's history is an illustration of this first verse of the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack anything. We can be sure of the Good Shepherd's provision for our pilgrimage. But what does all that mean for us in the days of our pilgrimage, in our journeying through life? What does all this mean for us? Let us learn three things from Israel's pilgrimage and Israel's experience of God during that pilgrimage. First of all, let us learn from Israel's experience that the Good Shepherd will make daily provision for us. Daily provision from the Good Shepherd. You see, the manna that God provided in the wilderness was for one day at a time. Only on the day before the Sabbath were the people allowed to gather more than one day's supply. And one secret, perhaps the greatest secret, of confidence and contentment is to live one day at a time, knowing that the Good Shepherd will meet each day's needs as they come. I've been visiting in homes that have been called to pass through times of sore trial. And remarkably, the same thing has come through again and again. We are living one day at a time. We are trusting the Lord one day at a time. Does not Christ say to us, the Good Shepherd himself, take therefore no anxious thought for the morrow? The Good Shepherd makes daily provision for us, for each day of our pilgrimage. His provision is sure. That's the first thing to learn from Israel's pilgrimage then, that the Good Shepherd will make daily provision for us, one day at a time. Again, the Good Shepherd, let us learn from Israel's experience that the Good Shepherd will provide protection from our foes. From the beginning to the end of Israel's pilgrimage, the Lord protected them from their enemies. Now, the enemies were there, and the enemies were strong and menacing, but the Lord gave his protection. And we can count on that as well. There are temptations to be faced. There are difficulties to be overcome. There are problems to be resolved. The foes are there. But the Good Shepherd guards his flock. And then the third thing that we can learn from Israel's pilgrimage is this, that the Good Shepherd has a rich possession waiting for us. You see, always before the people of Israel in their pilgrimage was the thought of Canaan, the promised land, what was waiting for them on in front, a land of fulfillment, a land of possession, waiting for them. And that's waiting for us as well, partially here and perfectly hereafter. Provision, protection, possession. Those are the things we can count on from the Good Shepherd on our pilgrimage. And doesn't the closing part of the 23rd Psalm say it all? My table thou hast furnished provision. In presence of my foes, protection. My head with oil thou dost anoint, and my cup overflows. Goodness and mercy all my life shall surely follow me, and then possession, and then God's house forevermore. My dwelling place shall be. The Good Shepherd makes provision for us on our pilgrimage. Take that thought with you into this week. The Good Shepherd's provision for our pilgrimage. The second thing I want to underline from this phrase in Psalm 23 is the Good Shepherd's provision for our poverty. Not only for our pilgrimage, but for our poverty. Perhaps there might be some to argue that the confidence of this first verse of Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack," does not stand up to the harsh facts of human poverty. I shall not lack. And yet all over the world today, there are people who lack the basic means to keep alive. Now, I do not want to deal with that argument in any detail now, except to say this, that much of world poverty stems from man's misuse and man's misappropriation of the gifts that God has given. There's plenty in the world to feed the world. So much world poverty is the result of man's misuse and man's misappropriation for selfish ends of what God has given. But what I do want to do is to give a biblical instance of poverty where the Lord made provision for his people's needs. You find it in 1 Kings chapter 17. Perhaps you'll turn back to 1 Kings chapter 17 for this illustration of the way in which the Good Shepherd made provision in the midst of his people's poverty. That chapter in 1 Kings 17, gives an account of 3.5 years drought and famine in Israel. Now we know from Ethiopia, the Sudan, and other countries in Africa what a few years drought can do. 3.5 years drought in Israel. We can imagine the poverty of the land as a result of that. And yet, in the midst of that poverty, in the midst of that drought, here was God's message to a starving woman and her son, down to the last handful of meal, and the last drops of oil in a cruse. You find it in verse 14. Here's God's message. In the midst of drought, in the midst of poverty, "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And literally, God's promise was, neither shall the cruse of oil be lacking. The same word that we have in Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord's provision for poverty. There are many instances, I'm sure you've all known of them, there are some here who have experienced them, of the Lord's making that kind of miraculous provision in a moment of dire need. All of us, in some measure, have had that kind of experience of God coming just in the nick of time with the provision that we needed. The Good Shepherd providing for his people. But this morning I want to think especially of God's provision for our spiritual poverty. All of us know that there come times when there is a spiritual drought in our souls. And that means poverty. And that means barrenness. And that means deadness in our lives. Maybe we've been neglecting prayer. Maybe we've been neglecting the Word. Maybe there's some unconfessed sin in our lives. But whatever the reason, there's drought and there's poverty. What's the answer to it? Perhaps there's someone here today who wants to know that above all else. What's the answer to spiritual drought and poverty? Thank God. The Good Shepherd has made provision for that. The Good Shepherd makes provision for our poverty. He leads his people to the green pastures and by the still waters. He restores their soul. We'll be looking at that later on in our study of this psalm. He restores my soul. Let us open our hearts and our lives to his tending and his care. Let us accept the provision he has made. Let us be willing to be guided to the green pastures and by the still waters. And then we'll find, however great the drought and the poverty, however low the supplies may be that we have in ourselves, his provision for our need will not be lacking. Take that word to yourself today. His provision for our poverty will not be lacking. There is provision for our poverty if we're willing to trust the Good Shepherd to give it to us. And that brings me to the third illustration of the Good Shepherd's provision that we're going to look at this morning. The Good Shepherd's provision for our pilgrimage. The Good Shepherd's provision for our poverty. The Good Shepherd's provision now for our partaking. Perhaps we feel like asking, if David's confidence expressed in this 23rd Psalm in verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack anything," we feel like asking perhaps, was that confidence really borne out by his own experience? Did it stand the test when things got really hard? We find the answer in Psalm 34. I want you to turn to that psalm now. Psalm 34. And I want you to note, as we did note when we were reading it, the circumstances that lay behind that 34th psalm, as recounted in 1 Samuel chapter 21. The title to Psalm 34 says, a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. And the situation, and is given in detail in 1 Samuel 21, was that David was being ruthlessly pursued by Saul, so hard pressed that finally he took the desperate step of seeking refuge among Israel's enemies, the Philistines. Now that shows how desperate he was. To escape from Saul, he took refuge among the Philistines. He went to Achish, king of Gath. And the king was willing enough to shelter him. Strangely enough, he was willing to shelter him. Until his advisors came to him. And they said to him, "Don't you know that David has always been the bitter enemy of the Philistines? Don't you remember," they said, "the songs that the women sang after David killed Goliath? Saul has slain his thousands and David his ten thousands. Ten thousands of Philistines." They said to King Achish, "Have you forgotten? Was it wise to give such a man sanctuary in their land?" And hearing that, David became suddenly aware of the precariousness of his situation. He was in the greatest danger. What could he do? And he did something very strange, and yet very effective. He seized on the plan of pretending to be insane. And the Philistines, of course, didn't want a madman on their hands. They were glad to get rid of him then. And Achish said, "Get out of here." Now that was the desperate situation. That was the background to this 34th psalm. And when we turn to the psalm, and I want you to turn to it now, what do we find in it? What do we find in this 34th Psalm from beginning to end? In the face of this desperate situation in which David was, we find nothing but praise to God. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And then this in verses 8 to 10. I want you to notice them specially. From verse 8 on. O taste and see that the Lord is good. That from a man surrounded by enemies. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want. Same word again as in Psalm 23. There's no lack to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. David had proved it true. In the face of everything, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack anything. The good shepherd's provision had been sure. David had proved it by partaking of it. And his challenge comes to us this morning. We who know this 23rd Psalm so well. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. Prove it for yourself. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. That the shepherd is the good shepherd. But how do we do that? How can we this morning in this house of God prove for ourselves that the shepherd is the good shepherd, that those who trust in him shall not lack anything? David outlines three steps in these three verses, verses 8 to 10 of Psalm 34. Three simple steps that we must take if we're to taste and see for ourselves that the Lord is good, that the shepherd is the good shepherd. And the first is the step of faith. In verse 8, blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And the word means fleeing for refuge to him because there's no hope anywhere else. And that's true. Blessed is the man who puts his trust in the good shepherd. It's got to begin there. If we're to know this confidence and this contentment that Psalm 23 verse 1 speaks of. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And then the second step in verse 9 is the step of recognizing the good shepherd's almighty power. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints. But that doesn't mean that we're to be afraid of him. It means that we're to recognize and reverence his power and might, to stand in awe of his greatness. That's what it means to fear the Lord, to be aware of his greatness, to bow down before his greatness, to bow down before the wonder of the fact that he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. As the New Testament puts it, the good shepherd is the great shepherd. There's no lack to those who accept that mighty power, who reverence him for that mighty power of his. Recognize, accept his mighty power. And then the third step is the step of seeking this power for our own particular need. In verse 10, they that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Is it possible that there's someone here today who hasn't confidence, who hasn't contentment, because you haven't asked? Ye have not because ye ask not. They that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. God's provision is for our partaking. It's there for all our need. Will you trust the Good Shepherd with your need today? Do you believe that his awesome power is great enough to meet your need? Will you seek that power that he's waiting to use for you? Will you seek him? If you do, trusting the Lord, trusting his mighty power and seeking that power for yourself, then you will be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack anything, no matter what your need is. How can I then lack anything of which I stand in need?